I thoroughly enjoyed the trip to Europe. We are excited about the few explorations that we did. We went to Switzerland, to Germany, and to the Netherlands. So, yeah, God is faithful, eh? It looks like God is working all around the globe, not just in the UK. Are you awake? Let me just get you, just quickly stand up. This morning we're going to allow God to work in our hearts. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here, being in your presence, Father, enjoying church, Father, because it's fellowshipping together with other saints. Father, to experience your presence in and through our lives. This morning we want to dedicate ourselves. I want to pray for every person here. Father, that we will have the ability to just see the things that's on your heart. I pray for your Holy Spirit now to really come and penetrate our hearts. As we stand here, Father, that you will this morning come and visit each one of us in a very special place. We love you, Jesus, and we ask that you, as the commander of the army, this morning will just come and give us the commands. We, your children, wants to listen. We want to follow your ways, and this morning I pray that you will open our hearts to see the things that's on yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, you can have a seat. Thanks, guys. David, thanks a lot. It's always so precious to see you and Sally. And the kids, you know, seeing them there against the wall now and how much they've grown. You and your family are really a blessing to us. And just to see how they've grown and you, the godly family that you are. So thanks a lot for that. Yeah, guys, I was really so excited to see what God is doing in Europe. And I'm not joking this morning when I say that, you know, there's hope for Europe. There's amazing stuff that's happening. It's, you know, we went to Germany, for instance, and it's one of the last places that I thought I would really have amazing encounters with God, not knowing the guys on that side. You know, we had meetings until 11 o'clock at night, you know, people laying on the floor and just worshiping and experiencing the presence of God. It was awesome. You know, even in the Netherlands, we had the opportunity of just doing a few prophetic proclamations, you know, over some of the cities and the opportunities that God gave us for the gospel and how open people actually are. You know, we so many times say that it's a hard continent. You know, it's hard to get the gospel to Europe. I'm telling you, Europe is up for the taking. God wants to do awesome things in this continent. And you guys must start to explore what God is doing, because I'm telling you, we're going to see awesome stuff happening. I was again so excited to see the team and how they engaged, how they started to minister to the people on the trip as well. There was, you know, many evenings that we didn't even preach; we just allowed the Holy Spirit to go. And I think one of the special moments for me was one evening just watching Carlos there from Worcester in South Africa, the pastor there, just crying, you know, there at the back, and he's walking and just, you know, praying for people, and I heard names as he was walking, you know, just connecting with God and just wrestling with God over the lives that that were represented there. And praying it over their lives, the things that God is giving him. And it was just awesome to see, you know, the man's heart. And again, to see when you connect with God, with your umbilical cord, the day when you get saved, you start to walk with God a road of excitement and expectation. Because serving Jesus is not about sitting in church today, but really to experience him in the small moments of everyday life. I say that many Christians miss God just because they are not aware of where he's busy doing things. You know, we go through life and everyday life, and I've seen it over and over and over again.
You know, I talk to Christians and then they say to me, listen, you know, it's amazing to serve Jesus. And then I look at their lives and I say, you know, is there one thing that you can get excited about when you serve Jesus? Just because when serving Jesus, there must be an expectation in your heart. You know, there must be an expectation to such an extent where you say, God, every moment of the day, I consecrate my life unto you. I want to see how your agenda unfolds over my life. Because, God, I want to be part of your promise for my life. And, you know, it's so precious watching Carlos, because I know that this man is busy connecting with God. He's seeing people the way that God is seeing them. And he's prophetically proclaiming that over their lives. You know, that is for me so special. And this morning, I want to actually talk about that. Because we as Christians live for one day, God is going to do something in my life. One day, I'm going to be this giant in the faith. And I'm telling you, that's never going to happen if you don't have a two-day plan for Jesus to happen in your life. Because providence only happens in your life when you this morning spend time with God, or whenever, spend time with God and God speaks to you, and you know that when the moment unfolds that God gave you in the Spirit, you know that God is with you. That moment when you miss that car with this much, and you know that, listen, this was not coincidence. God this morning said to me in my quiet time that I must be vigilant because the enemy wants to take me out. And he wants to be a shield over my life. Pray that you will be protected today on the road. And when that moment happened, you say, thank you, God. But you know what? Many of those moments happen in our lives, every moment of the day, but we are not aware of it. It's not as if God doesn't have an agenda or God is not moving in and through our lives. He is very active in our lives. We're just so unaware. We're not expectant. We're not excited about what He's doing. You know, and I want to say to you this morning, you know, I love living for Jesus. Just because I know the passion in my heart is just to ask God every day, every moment, every meeting that I have with a person, God, give me that divine moment. Give me that agenda, that blueprint of what you want to establish in this moment that I'm in. And I want to say to you, faith is now. It's not one day. Faith is, God, what did you place on my plate now? And what can I do to connect with that moment? You know, and Mordecai was such a man, and I want to spend some time in the Word today about it. When we read the book of Esther, we many times focus on Esther. And, you know, I love to this morning just show you the other picture, the one of Mordecai being, you know, such an empty vessel unto God's kingdom. You know, saying, God, nothing about me, but everything about your kingdom being established in and through my lifetime. And, you know, if you go to Esther 2, verse 15, I'm going to start to read there. If you have your Bibles here this morning, rather go through the Bible. I know these things are very nice, but following in the Word just gives you opportunity to really connect with what God. And even if you can make notes this morning, I'm going to do a lot of reading. So relax. I know you're tired already. Are you tired? No. Okay. I'll make sure that you get to the faith moment just now. Okay, guys, I want you to push into this word. Esther 2, verse 15. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women. And she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, this story is actually just to give you some background. This is in a time where there was a king, Ahasuerus. He had a big kingdom all the way from Egypt to India, a very large kingdom, and he had a lot of provinces in this kingdom, of which there was princes that ruled over these provinces. And they gathered together at the king's palace. And for 180 days, they partied. They just had a festival. They just, drunk themselves to pieces. They had this big party, and I don't even want to go there what they did in this time. But 180 days. And then the king came to one night in high spirits, being very drunk. He asked for Queen Vashti to come. And she refused to come. He then said to the princess, listen, what should I do with Queen Vashti? They said, listen, to a king of your stature, you know, there's no way that a queen can make such a decision. So we'll just make sure that from every province we'll send a virgin, the most beautiful girl in our province, and you can then prepare her for a year and decide which one is the best. So for a year this went on. The king came to a place where he favored Esther. And now the story of Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, the one who understood the will of God and the ways of God, the one who was focused on, you know, seeing God's kingdom come in his lifetime. And now you see this picture of this man presenting his daughter because he had, adopted her. And you see this picture where he's speaking into her life. And now he's sitting in the courtyard and something happened. Listen to the story here. Esther 2 verse 19. Now when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not made known her kindred or her people, as Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther obeyed Mordecai just as when she was brought up by him. This is a beautiful picture. In those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai and told Queen Esther. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hanged on the gallows. And it was recorded, and I want you to make a mark there, it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king, the history books. And now to chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, just turn to chapter 4, verse 12. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's household will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Can I just read that last verse? Relief and deliverance, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I quickly want to just say, guys, this is a very important part of Esther's story, but especially Mordecai spending time with her about the essence of serving God. He's basically saying to her, Esther, you know what? I want you to know that the choice is yours. You can choose not to commit yourself to the process of being the deliverer of Israel, but there's some difficulty that goes with it. and I want to this afternoon just say to you guys, when we get to serving Jesus, when we start to get onto the page of God, we always get to a choice, either to be part of the problem or part of the solution. And Mordecai says to her, you know what, if you're not part of the solution, you and your family will perish. Not because God will curse you or God will make life difficult for you or because serving God is receiving the rod always. He's telling that because when you find yourself being in the presence of God, understanding His agenda and serving Him, you find fulfillment in life. Are you with me this morning? You can only find fulfillment in this lifetime if you are in the perfect will of God in the season that God has placed you in. And this is basically what Mordecai tells her. Listen, Esther, please do not miss this moment. Because I am a father in your life, and I'm telling you, while I have any say in your life, let's get to the reality of you being obedient to God. And you know what? I remember years ago going through a lot of hardship. I did my internship at Shofar, and at the end of that year, you know, I got to the place where I was so excited about ministry. You know, God, we're going to do awesome stuff for you, and God, I've got this calling upon my life, and God, I'm so excited about your anointing. And then Pastor Fred said to me, you know what, we don't have any positions in the church, but you all in the internship group must first go and get some work experience, and then you can get back into the ministry. Now, my life was just falling apart because I realized that, God, you know what, this is a time such as this. I just want to, you know, follow your hand. I was obedient. I got a job at one of the leading banks in South Africa, which was against all odds. I'll tell you the story later on. But, you know, I got this job, and, you know, I was... the most exciting thing was actually when I got home at night at 7 o'clock, you know, from the work, because we had to drive a long way to where I work. We committed ourselves to the Franschhoek congregation, which you will know, David, at that time, and I had to drive all the way into Cape Town to go and work every day. Drop my wife off in Wellington, or on Wellington side of Paul, which is about 120 k's from Franschhoek every day, but it took me 2 hours because of traffic. So every morning I had to leave at about 6 in the morning. You know, I took my wife to work. She had to in dock, commit herself to teaching. And then at 6 o'clock at night, I had to pick her up, you know. And then actually our life started. Getting back at home and then to the church was the most exciting day of our, the most exciting thing of our day. Was just the fact that God, now, you know. So we ministered every evening and, you know, awesome stuff that God did. And then for a year it went on, and, you know, later on I said to God, oh God, I'm so frustrated. I stood there in the credit headquarters of the bank looking at Cape Town at that stage, to Table Mountain. And I remember the moment that God gave me there. One where I said to God, God, you know what, I don't want to be here in the secular job. I want to be in the ministry. I want to do great things for you. I've got these plans. And I was standing there, and God was ministering into my heart. And I must just sketch you the picture. I was part of this one team in the bank, credit team, that we had a few banks under us, a few branches of towns in South Africa. And these guys were, you know, drunk every morning. They came to work, party through the whole night, and then come to work still drunk. And then at about 11 o'clock, they would really just come to their senses. I'm the only one that get to work and start to do the reporting, you know, and start to get myself focused. And then by 11 o'clock, we can start with our work. So I soon realized the only reason why I was appointed was because I was the reverend of this team. They immediately realized that this guy at least will bring hope to this team, because it's just the worst team in the whole credit headquarters. And I said to God, God, this must be crazy. I mean, I'm here in this godless team that cannot focus. We cannot reach any target that that is being set there for us. I'm the only one that actually tries to get to those targets. And God clearly spoke into my spirit and He said, you know what? You will not leave this season if you don't focus on what I've put on your plate right now. And that was one of the most hard lessons that I've learned in this life, is the one of understanding that we must apply our heads to the things that God has placed on us now. Faith is now. And you know what? It was special to me because when I started to do this, I've seen how I could in the morning get to work and started to pray for my managers, started to anoint the seats. There was a few guys that got excited. They got, you know, saved, and we went into the building in the morning, and before the managers came, we anointed the seats. It was crazy stuff that we did. I mean, if those managers would have caught us in, they would probably, you know, we would have had big trouble. But we were so crazy about Jesus and we were just following Him, and I could see how people got saved and we prayed for the building. Our team started to really get to their goals. And but what was amazing was understanding what God has called me to at a time such as this. Now I want to tell you, wherever you are involved now, whatever you are doing now, there's some favor that God gives you. And with that favor comes great responsibility. Because there's moments that God will give you in everyday life that is keys to unlock the hearts of people. And you know what? We miss those moments so often, not as if they're not there, but because we're not focused. And Mordecai said to Esther, listen, Esther, you're not going to miss your calling. You're not going to miss the moment for what it is. God has a plan with your life. Esther 3, verse 1 to 6. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, and advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. Just make a mark there. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? And when they spoke to him day after day and he would not listen to them, they told Haman in order to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with fury. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. I want to make a mark there, because I'm going to get back to that later. Because it's very strange that a man called Haman would want to kill all the Israelites, all the people of God, because of one man's disobedience. The people of Mordecai throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Listen to this, Esther 5 verse 9 to 14. Keep up with me. There's an important thing that I want you to catch here. And Haman went out, verse 9 of chapter 5. And Haman went out that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose or trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions which the king had honored him with, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, even Queen Esther,
Let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows 50 cubits made high, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast. This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. This is the important part. So now I see this picture of a man called Haman, very, very furious with Mordecai. And this is a moment at Mordecai's life where he was with his back against the wall. But listen what God is busy doing. Esther 6, verse 1. On that night, the king could not sleep. Make a note there. That night, the king could not sleep. Just say it. At that night, okay, you're still awake. At that night, the king could not sleep. And he have orders to bring the book of the memorable deeds, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor or distinction has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this? The king's young men who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. David, would you stand up in the evening if you cannot sleep and read history books? Guys, this is just mind-boggling. Why would the king in the middle of the night get a desire for them to come and read the history books of his kingdom? This is crazy stuff. Everyone, stand up. We're going to now sit down. I cannot sleep. Come and read the history books. And you know what? It's not just that. The history book falls open where? Okay, are you awake? It falls open at the story of Mordecai. At a time when Mordecai's back is against the wall, God says, Mordecai, you're such a faithful man. I'll even wake the king in the middle of the night so that he can serve my purposes. I want to bless you for being obedient and faithful to my agenda. Listen to this. The next morning, I'm still in chapter 6. The next morning, there was a knock on the door. The king was asking, you know what? What should we do to a man that is faithful and blessed in my kingdom? The guy that was on knocking on the door was the guy called Haman. The door was opened, and the king said, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Haman. Because I was just thinking about how can we bless the man that is faithful to me. Now you can just think, Haman, in his mind, think that it's himself. But listen to what he's saying. And Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown must be set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor. Now, I can just now think, oh, this guy is now so excited what's going to happen. He's going to get all the recognition. And let them lead him on the horse. You still with me? He still has these very bad ideas and thoughts about how he's going to sort out Mordecai. Are you with me? And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse and dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Can I just say this morning that when we connect with God's agenda, God's umbilical cord for our lives, that God cannot wait to bless us for our faithfulness. God cannot wait for us to be part of the solution, because He just wants to bless us even in this lifetime. Are you with me this morning? He will wake the king in the middle of the night to serve His purposes. And I want to say to you this morning, testing will come in your life. Hardship will come in your life. But can I say this morning that testing comes to strip you from your calling? Are you with me this morning? Can I just clarify? Your identity lies within God, not your calling. Tests strip us from our crutching on our own ability and identity in our calling. We must admit that God's plan, His vision, and it will not fail because of me. Guys, I found that so many Christians are so focused on their great calling. Woo, God, I'm going to do these great things for you. I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to do such blessed things. And God says to me, "Listen, you're not on my agenda. Hey, you've got these great ideas about ministry, but let me tell you, if you're not on my page, you can have all the noble ideas, but nothing's going to happen because it's all about my agenda." You fulfill your life's calling by being at the right place at the right time where God is busy moving, not where you are moving. Because you are so great. We think that when our contribution doesn't come to the table, that the world is going to fall apart and the ministry is going to... David, we as ministers can just say to ourselves, the ministry will not fall apart because we are not there. And God has reminded me of these things, Yaku, so many times in the past, that it's not about me. God can do with whosoever... whatever. You know, I just love Reinhard Bonnke a few years ago saying, you know, that he came to God and God gave him this big assignment to fulfill. And he said, you know, God said to him, "You know what, Reinhard, you're not even my first choice." And he said, he was first very offended. And God said, "You know what, you're not even my second choice. You're actually my third choice, but I can tell you, because you're obedient, I want you to do this for me." I want to say to you this morning, you know what? I'm just so privileged. Israel is not privileged to have a beautiful face in the midst of their calamity to save them as a nation. Esther is so blessed by the opportunity that God presents in her life to be obedient to His agenda. Are you with me this morning? It's a little bit of a mind shift. And I can tell you, people, Christians are at a scary place where we think that, you know what, we are doing God favors in this life. And I'm telling you, I can see it happen, that it's a setup that's going to make you to fall if you think that it's all about your calling. And I'm not fighting with you this morning. I'm fighting with myself. Because I know one thing, that if I'm not aware of what God is busy doing and following His hand where He's moving, I'm missing God all the time and I'm not fulfilled in this life. Lastly, and I want to end off with that. You know, the beautiful picture that is busy happening here is, one where Esther
is then deciding to make the right choice. But the right choice toward God's greater plan. Greater than her life, greater than, you know, even her generation. Listen to this. Esther 5, verse 1 to 3. I want to get back to chapter 5, before chapter 7. Esther chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom." Beautiful moment. She's, you know, just leopard crawling toward the king. And she's saying, "Oh, king, listen, please, I know I may not be here. I can die actually for this act that I'm doing now. But I'm going to take the chance. Will you give me mercy? And just give me one evening in my house where I can serve you and Haman together, because I've got something on my heart." So the king says, "Yes, let's go for it." Haman is very chuffed with himself that he is actually asked to come with. And now we know the story. Honesty prevails. And the truth prevails. And Queen Esther says, "Oh, king, you know what? Do you know about this Haman and his agenda? Because, you know, the man called Mordecai, let me just refresh your memory, Chronicles, these three books. It's actually my uncle. And he's in great trouble because of a decision that Haman made. And actually, there's some big gallows being made for his head." And then you see in Esther 7, verse 9 to 10, the king's reaction. Then Harbona, verse 9 of chapter 7. One of the eunuchs in attendance on the king said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose words save the king, is hanging at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Guys, can I just this morning bring you to God's divine plan? And you know, I've often, you know, sit with God, and then you ask God some questions. You know, "God, why is things happening in my life? You know." There's a reason why this family, Mordecai's family, would not bow before Haman. Because if you look at the history books, there's something that happened in the past. Mordecai was part of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, this was a tribe that was still in shame because of a king that was chosen from their tribe, called Saul. Okay, your pastor is awake. Are you still with me? Saul. Now, King Saul was the first of the Benjamites that were chosen to be the king of Israel. But there was a mistake that he made, two mistakes actually, that was just terrible for the history of Israel. The one was, he said, "Listen, God said to him, Saul, you would go against the Amalekites, King Agag, the Agagites. You will go against them, but you will make sure to kill each one of them, because none of them may live in the future to be a stumbling block for you as a nation." King Saul did not do that. And you know what? God was furious about this, because now you see the picture unfold. The second thing, let me first get there, that King Saul did wrong is he was actually disobedient to God, because when they went against the Amalekites, He took all the spoils of the land, which God said you would not do. Do you remember the story? God said, you will not take of any of the spoils of the land of the Amalekites. So now the story unfolds where God comes back to Israel and he's revisiting Israel and he says, I want to set the history book straight here. Because this guy called Haman was part of the tribe of the Agagites. The same guy that killed King Saul at the end of his kingship. And also his son. So now, being out of the tribe of the Agagites, you can just imagine why Mordecai would not bow before Haman. But now God says, listen, I want you to get back to those moments and I want restoration. You know what? You're not just going to be victors in this story, but you are not going to take any of the spoils of the land when you are in Israel. When you are in Ahasuerus' kingdom. Listen to Esther 8 verse 16 to 17. Esther 8 verse 16 to 17. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, wherever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many from the people of the country declared themselves Jews. Are you with me this morning? And many from the people of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Let's quickly stand. You know, the beauty of this story in the midst of the chaos in Mordecai's life, God says to him, Mordecai, you know what? I'm so blessed with you because you are serving my agenda. You understand exactly where I am at this stage of Israel's history plan, and therefore I want to just bless you. You know, the beauty of it is that God could actually, through this act, this amazing act of obedience and blessing toward Mordecai, he could get to a place where it would be said of the Jews, and many from the people of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Can I just read it this way? And many from the people of the UK declared themselves Christians, for fear of the Christians had fallen upon them. Guys, if we serve the purposes of God and we get onto His agenda, things start to happen. When God speaks to, or Jesus speaks to Peter, and he says, listen, I know, Peter, I know you threw the nets out on the left-hand side, you threw it out on the right-hand side, the whole night. But when I say, throw it out, I can promise you, there will be fish. And I want to tell you today, you know what? What's so amazing about God and His plan in our lives is that we don't always understand it. Because it might be even greater than our generation. This man called Mordecai did not know that his family would be one of the most incredible families of all the time in the Word of God. But one thing that he did know is, God, I don't dare miss your plan for a time such as this. I want to tell you this morning, you know what? God is unfolding His agenda all around us. Our eyes must be opened so that we can hit the target every time. God, I want to have my umbilical cord connected with yours. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I want to ask you that you will just come and speak into our hearts, into our Father God spirit, just the life and life in abundance that you lay before us. Oh God, we want to choose to be part of the solution in this lifetime. Father, we want to get you at a place where, Father, every moment of the day will be a godly moment. A moment when we experience your presence in our lives and we don't want to miss it. I want to pray this morning for every person here. I want to ask, Father, that they will never miss your promise for their lives. Father, that this morning they will get their umbilical cords connected again to serve your purposes in the name of Jesus. And Father, that they will not miss out on the promises that you have for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, I know it's late, you guys probably want to go and have some lunch. But let's not miss this moment, this opportunity, this Kairos moment in our lives of just praying for one another. I want you to turn to the person next to you and get a little bit out of your comfort zone now. I know it's difficult. But pray for the person next to you and I want you to commit again just God's promise for your life. Okay? So that God can start to bring you to the Mordecai moment. The place where you can again know that, God, I'm in that perfect place of obedience with you. God, I'm excited because you are going to do awesome stuff. Amen? Is there something that you... Sorry? Yeah, we can have music. Let's quickly turn to one another. Let's pray for one another. And I want you to do it as an act of anointing. Anoint the other person. This morning, do we have oil here? We can even get some oil. You anoint the other person. And this morning, I even confess if you're not at that place. moving in God's plan for your life. Is that all right? Okay. Thanks, guys.
From the thrill of battle into greater blessing, nothing left to fear. Well, we don't know what to do, what to do. What to do? Our eyes will be fixed on you, fixed on you. Come on, stand up, everybody, stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up, see the King. Our God, such a mighty fortress, you are with us, for us. Jesus, stand up, everybody, stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up. See the King, our God, such a mighty fortress. You are with us,
for us, Jesus, our King.
Our faith is in you. The battle is yours, the battle is yours. Our faith is in you, the battle is yours, the battle is yours. Oh, oh. Our faith is in you, the battle is yours, the battle is yours. Faith is in you, battle is yours, battle is yours. Come on, stand up, everybody, stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up, see the King. Our God, such a mighty fortress, you are with us, for us. Jesus, our King, stand up, stand up, everybody, stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up, see the King. Our God, such a mighty fortress, you are with us, for us. Jesus, our King.
God, we thank you that your purpose is great. We thank you, God, for your thoughts that are far above ours, for your ways that are far above ours. God, we thank you for your preservation. Even of Hercules this morning, that the enemy's schemes not only have been thwarted, but God, you've turned it into a blessing for us. And God, we thank you that your kingdom will come and that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, thank you. Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, Spirit, that your greatness and your majesty you choose to reveal to this healing and broken world through us, your people. So God, take us, take our strengths and our weaknesses. Take, God, our successes and our failures. Take our gifts and those things that we've not used. And use them all, always and only for your glory. God, we thank you that you are for us and that this battle is not ours. So Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we worship you as the one who is risen and victorious. We declare that we will live lives that confirm and celebrate your resurrection, that confirm and celebrate your victory, so that you can bless this world. Lord God, may your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. If you hadn't finished in your prayers and you'd like to, then please do. If you would like to come to the front and be prayed for with the facilitator, then please do that also. There's oil for healing as well as for anointing. We use oil for both of those purposes. Please don't go, please don't leave if you have a need for prayer, either where you are, the person next to you, or please come to the front. There'll be some refreshments served in the room behind in a few moments. Thank you.
I'm a close again.
Thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Yeah, man. JP on the bass. Yeah, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just super.